Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hello, my name is Mike, and today's show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. It's quite simply the best way to support this show. If you need it, Amazon has it, and you can get it at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. Bookmark it, please.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oscar? Oh, look who's here already.
Oh, my God, who's that?
That is Gustav. We actually...
Gustav, hello, my name is Gustav, how are you?
Let me tell everybody that after our meet and greet...
Hello, Oscar.
Hello.
Let's celebrate.
After our meet and greet on Friday night, Mike and I found our way across the street to the Hofbrau House on Paradise Road in Las Vegas. And met this man who's sort of the ringmaster, the master of ceremonies at the Hofbrau House.
Yeah, I think you should be doing your trip out to Las Vegas with your elephant eating.
What's
all of your calories that you enjoyed. I noticed you had a big schnitzel, too. Huh?
I did have the schnitzel. It was wonderful. I had a pretzel.
My name is Gustav, the inappropriate Hofbrau House MC.
How did you book him?
He said he wanted to know what we were doing there, and I explained, and I said it would be great.
I know
great.
What you were doing. You were eating a lot, weren't you?
And having a drink.
That's right. You were sitting next to the lady that looks like she had some sort of pimples.
What? No, she
Maybe
didn't.
She should stay away from the German chocolate, then she wouldn't have so many pimples.
And I said, you are charming. It would be so great if you could fly back with us and be on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Because you liked me. You said, I am the most inappropriate MC you have ever seen. I said, we have so much fun at the Hofbrau House. Wear your blue hats. It's fantastic. And your boys were all there. It was such a great time. Everybody gather around front and we'll be drinking the big mugs of beer, including the skinny man that has a girl's body in back of you.
What do you mean by a girl's body?
His name. Why do you have a girl's name and a girl's body? Pony.
Pony could be a boy, could it not?
Oh, he could be. He will never be a strong man unless he drinks much more beer and eats German food.
Now, let me describe you. You are probably about 290 pounds.
290 pounds, yes. I wish I was in better shape, but unfortunately, I am not I'm not as small as I would like to be. But then again, most of the American women aren't either.
And you are bald and you have a handlebar mustache.
I do. My name is Gustav, the inappropriate Hofbrau House MC. Okay,
Gustav.
Everybody, come in. Stupid Americans, come in here with your watered-down culture.
Gustav.
Yes. Hello, Oscar.
How do you?
Have you had a tough day being brown?
No.
Why would you even bring that up?
I'm not an American. Only brown people are always they hit the hard times. They say, "Well, it's all come over here and mow my lawn." That's what they say to you.
I'm curious, Gustav. How did you land the gig? The gig of all gigs. You're playing Vegas.
Well, I came over to America about a year ago. My English is good from university, so I was able to speak.
Is good from university?
Yes, my English is good from university, so I came over and I saw Hofbrau House. I said, we have those in München. So if I have it in München, I will come over and we'll do that. And I auditioned and I said, he said, what can you do? I said, well, I do not want to wait tables and pick up food that falls out of people's mouths. So I said, what I would like to do is be the MC and I will be funny. And I'm very, very funny. People laugh at my jokes. Like I will say, sir, come up on stage, but why don't you pull that material out between your buttock cheeks?
God, that's the
shtick you
did? You
call it over here. I know the American slang. You call it a wedgie.
Right. But that's
the wedgie. It was like, I said, most of the material is in between your buttock cheeks.
Is there a German word that means wedgie?
Yeah. Sklaschentrogen.
What's atomic wedgie?
Atomic wedgie would be right up where you have to go to the medical person.
Or we call it a doctor.
You call it whatever you call it. You Americans like to always shorten the words because you don't like to think a lot.
No, it's not it. You're calling
I'm sorry
stupid.
If that was inappropriate, but my name is Gustav, the inappropriate house MC.
Now, when you had your audition, when you flew in, or did you come by boat?
I came on a big ship, a steamer ship.
A steamship?
I came to Ellis Island.
Really?
No, I came on a plane, you okay. fool. You're okay. such a stupid man and bald.
So you come in and you land and you go there. Can we have some more of the shtick you auditioned with?
Oh,
you
sure. I would say, Damons and Herrens, it's great to have you. My name is Gustav, the inappropriate Hofbräu House MC. I'm so happy to see you. Ma'am, please, why don't you look me in the eye before you stare at your food that you're going to eat all of? Yes, because of course she is so fat.
No, if they're not fat, they're
boy, do we have a lot of fat ones here tonight? I would say there won't be anyone having sex tonight after the Hofbräu House.
Do you get
because most of these women will go home after their sauerkraut and they will fart.
Now speaking of having sex after German food, do you get laid a lot as the MC of the Hofbräu House?
No, unfortunately, I work too hard and I'm very tired and I go. You know, most of the women that come in there, you know, are not attractive.
Right.
They don't really want to have much to do with me. And so I will go and watch, you know, the sex movies on the porn.
Oh, you pay? Is it a pay-per-view deal?
No, I actually have a collection of DVDs from Germany.
A collection
where
of
they
what?
Actually speak German. It's fantastic.
What are
it's
some
fantastic.
Of the...
It's German actuality porn.
Do you have any categories that you prefer?
Oh, yes. I like the two girls with the one guy.
Oh.
And, I like it also when it happens in Austria.
That's, oh, you like that?
Oh, because it's cold. There's one particular one where they're all in a cabin after skiing, and they have the snow bunnies with the boots, and it's very, very... I've worn that one out.
You've worn it out? Do you ever have any pornography that involves the food they serve?
No, we have no, but I have Nazi porn.
Nazi porn.
Oh, hey,
I'm Gustav, the inappropriate Hofbräu House MC. Excuse me, you beat us in the war. Why so sensitive?
Now here's the deal. You say you don't have a lot of sex, but
no.
If you ever were,
I have about as much sex as we have having black people come into the Hofbräu House.
Hey.
You don't get a lot.
You
of
never see that.
African Americans,
oh
not a lot of.
No, African Americans. Oh, you're so perfect, aren't you? You're so much better than Gustav, the inappropriate Hofbräu House MC. Yes, African. Americans
just try to
like
be appropriate.
Just come over.
Now,
you know what?
When you hit on a girl, do you ever hit? Yeah. Do you try to do it?
Yes, I've tried to hit on a girl.
Can you show us your line?
But you
line?
See, where I come from, a small forest outside of Düsseldorf, and unfortunately, and you can look at me, Rob.
Yes.
When you come from that small forest in Düsseldorf,
yes.
Hitting on a girl really means hitting a girl.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
In the 70s, Wayne Newton was determined to shed his baby fat and baby-faced image. And borrowing a bit from Tom Jones and Elvis, he put the world on notice he'd grown up. Newton earned a black belt in karate and on a diet of Caesar salads dropped over 100 pounds. He grew a pencil-thin Errol Flynn mustache and reshaped his Waikiki wave hairdo, dyeing it a deep black. Despite the makeover, comics on the strip who'd long made Newton the butt of their jokes were still making fun of the baby-faced boy with a girlish voice he'd once been. He piloted his own helicopter and began breeding expensive Arabian horses on 50,000 acres of ranch land on an estate he named Casa de Shenandoah. Peacocks and black swans strolled the grounds. It was a style of spending that would almost ruin him. But Newton still coveted the one thing that would cement his standing in Las Vegas, his own hotel. In 1980, he decided to buy the lavish Aladdin Hotel and Casino.
It was an honest-to-God attempt to say, I have been running my mouth my entire life about if I own my own place, how I would run it and how I would like to see, and am I willing to put my money where my mouth is?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Cabbie Fiverr Studios. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are broadcasting all over the planet and powered by Encore Insurance Services with over 22 million downloads. We're at MikeOMaraShow.com, and we are heard over the air on the mighty 1630 KCJJ, Chad Broadcaster singy-songy. In the heart of the heartland, go Hawks. The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners in the world. Why?
Why?
Because they get it.
They do get it.
They do. Hey, I'm going to press this button for a second. Tell me if I sound different.
Okay.
Hold on. Do I sound different now?
About the same.
Okay, just checking. Anyway, hi. Hi. Our show today is brought to you by our good friends at Sleep Number. We love it. I love it. And I love my Sleep Number bed. Not only do I love it, Carla loves it too. Let me tell you something. When you stay at that Las Vegas hotel,
yes.
And you're sleeping on that mashy, mushy mattress,
yes.
You really get to appreciate your Sleep Number bed. Mrs. O'Mara prefers a lovely firm mattress, as do I. She is actually a higher setting than I am. She is an 80 and I am a 70. Normally, that would be a problem when you have different settings. But in our particular case, we love having separate sides. And she likes to be different. She likes to dance to her own drummer. That's the way it works. I love my Sleep Number bed. It saved my back. That is the bottom line. Each side of the Sleep Number bed adjusts to your ideal level of comfort and support. When I bought it, the in-store sales professional was great. He helped me find the perfect setting in no time. Carla's too. And really, it was a life-changing product for me. I had tried a lot of different mattresses, but the Sleep Number mattress was the first one where I got the firmness all the time that I needed, and I love it. The home delivery and setup is just so easy. They'll take everything out of there that you had before. They'll take the old bed and remove it and put your brand new, sweet Sleep Number bed in your bedroom, and you'll love it. It's a new year. Sleep better. Right now, here's the deal at Sleep Number. It's the lowest prices of the season. Save up to $800 on their newest innovation beds, plus 18-month financing on all beds with approved credit. Sale ends soon. And really, what better thing to invest in than a bed for your ailing back, especially if you're like me, or just to be more comfortable and get a better night's sleep? Find your Sleep Number setting today at any of the 425 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. That number again is 800-511-0061. Don't forget to tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you.
Very good.
Hi, boys.
Hi, good
hey
to
now.
See you.
How's every little thing?
Good. Ooh. It seems like I saw you just 20 minutes ago.
Jesus, I have not recovered. Have you recovered?
Not 100%. I told Oscar I'm at a strong 82 right now.
I am unwell.
Okay.
Yes, it's very, very frustrating. Very, very frustrating.
Parents,
I have not recovered.
My parents asked me to come hang out for some traditional soup. It's called fricassé.
Fricassee.
Yeah, and it happens a little bit after New Year's. And I said, yeah.
Fricassé.
I said, no problem. I'll be there by 4. And then around 4, I called. And I said, Mom, I am unwell. There's no chance I'm making it to your house. And she said, ¿qué? And I said, unwell means not good.
Not good. No bueno. No bueno.
You know what I was, before the show started and I was talking about that electric shock that I was getting?
Yes.
Yeah.
I figured out what it is, Oscar, during this whole
thing.
What's
that?
It is the charger for the computer that that I have hooked up. When that is disconnected, there is no electrical charge. When it is connected, the electricity courses through my body.
Weird science.
So I just thought I'd share that with you.
Now, that'll come in handy if the heart gives out.
I really would have used an electrical charge yesterday because I arrived here in South Florida at 10 o'clock Eastern time, about 10:15. And, you know, when you're landing, you get the wonderful thing that they say, which, and you guys, I think, had it worse than I did, when they say, there's some storms in the area.
Yeah.
And then you get about a half an hour before your destination, and they said, you know what, we're going to ask the flight attendants to sit down for the duration of the flight.
Oh, man.
You know, all the little tells that you get, ladies and gentlemen, you know how that works.
That was no
very,
good.
Very scary.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
When I left you on Friday night, you said you had a 4 p.m. flight the next day.
I was wrong. I do that all the time. Excuse me. I do that all the time where I screw up my departure time and I mix it up with my arrival time. The 4 o'clock was my arrival time in Houston, Texas.
Ooh.
Oh, your connection in Houston. Did you have a nice time in Texas?
That I will get to. I had actually probably one of the greatest airport experiences I've ever had.
Really?
It was that fantastic. The departure time from Lost Wages was 11:17. So
that's not 4:30 at all.
No, and but I didn't stay out that late anyway.
Do you know why I know this? Is because I went out of my way to abscond some Maestro headphones for you. And
yes, the German maestros.
Yes, and I went down to give them to you, and I said, well, he's not here. And then I called Ponyboy to do the same, and he said, well, I think Mike's flight got bumped up. And I said, his flight got bumped up?
Would you like to hear the, you know, and I love my exchanges with Pony when they're verbal,
yes.
But, you know, they can also be, he also can be what I refer to as the great communicator.
Oh, he is.
When it's nonverbal. And so, and incidentally, I am just as curt with Pony when it comes to text messages as I am when I see him in, you know, in person.
Real life.
So because I left and I had, I think, Rob, you were probably the only one that I let know that I'd screwed up my departure time and that I was heading out early.
And
right?
I think that was just by text, wasn't it? Because yeah, I know that by the text. Time Saturday rolled around, any semblance of patience any of us had with each other was gone. So it was they were basically three-letter texts back and forth.
Yeah, and it was frustrating. And all I know is it starts at 11:22 a.m. I don't know why I texted you at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's probably 8:22 that's converted back to Eastern time.
A lot of the pony texts, it's just this. I'm looking at these texts from Las Vegas, Nevada, and I'm looking just to see if of total anger and frustration. Yeah. You know, my favorite one was disregard last text that was about you.
Oh, that was great.
To Rob.
Oh no.
Oh, so you sent a text about him to him?
Well, that's when I just said, remember the morning he was late?
Oh, that. Yes, I do remember that.
First of all, he's supposed to be in my room at 8:45. So I said 8:45 and they write like a 9 question marks because he's not there. And and then Pony writes to me, sorry, I didn't write back. I'm on my way now. And then, let me see.
Well, one of the mottos I learned, I mean, you know, a lot of times you can take a learning experience, the takeaway from the trip. And my takeaway from the trip, and I learned this from Mike, is that 8:55 is not 8:45. And that sometimes the most direct way from the fluffed mic, the most direct way, I've learned this.
Thank you.
The most direct way from the 15th floor to the 14th floor does not involve a trip to the casino for a cigarette. I'm no geography major, but there is a more direct route that can be taken.
Is nicotine. It's going to be the death of him.
We have got to. I mean, quite literally, if it's not the cancer, one of us will kill him.
Mike, yesterday we're unpacking the car because we all went to the airport together, myself, Rob, Todd, and Ponyboy.
It was a great trip.
And we're all grabbing bags, and we probably had at least 7 or 8 bags, real bags that you're checking, right?
Yeah,
right.
And Ponyboy's a man of a smaller frame, so I don't expect him to be hauling huge bags.
We wanted him to carry one stand-up.
But I also don't expect to look back and see him with a cigarette in his hand. And as we're unpacking the car.
Yeah, it was like trying to travel with Dean Martin. He didn't want to put his cigarette down, so he was moving, or Gleason maybe. He was moving all the luggage he could with just one hand because he had a cigarette.
And then I said, time for a pep talk.
Yeah.
And we talked all the way to the
gate. He got a lot of pep
talks
towards the end of the trip. He ran out of gas. He totally ran out of gas on the end of the trip.
About Thursday afternoon, he started talking like Napoleon Dynamite because that's all the energy he had.
I don't know where I'm going. And then I saw his post on Facebook where he said, great to be home.
Yeah, he was very happy.
Great. Right, sorry. Sorry, dude. Sorry I took you to Las Vegas, Nevada at the Venetian Hotel for a week.
What should have read, great to be away from those a-holes. But I think that's
totally
really the read
that.
I got.
That's
yeah.
what it spoke to me. So after he leaves and he's late and I yelled at him because he was late, I texted Rob, but I was really texting Pony. So I wrote to Rob. I said, he just texted me, F word. Then I text Rob again. I'm thinking this is all going to Rob. I said, he just left. I don't think he enjoyed our visit.
But you sent it to Pony and Rob.
And at that moment, no, just to Pony.
Okay.
I'm that mad. And then I realized that I've sent it to Pony and I write, disregard last text. That was for Rob talking about you.
So really, you didn't want him to not see it. You wanted him to see it and know that it was about him.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so it's just at 1:50 p.m. on Saturday.
Right.
I got this somewhere when I was in the air, and I'm in Houston International Airport.
Okay.
And so Pony, because of this whole headphone thing where Oscar tried to drop them off, Pony obviously is informed by Oscar that I wasn't in the hotel room. Please take these headphones or something like that. Because I'm in Houston, Texas.
Yes.
The plane has left and landed. Pony texts me. Would you like me to bring you your headphones?
What?
I'm in Houston Airport and I get this text. I'm just looking at it. I'm just staring at it for about 5 minutes. So would you like me to bring you your headphones? Are you going to fly like a bird? Are you sometimes be transported to the airport? So I respond with my traditional 5 big angry question marks.
Yes, yes. We've all seen it.
And so I write back to him, and I say, do you mean as opposed to leaving them in Las Vegas?
that is partially my fault.
And then he writes back,
fault.
the great communicator. Oscar asked me to bring you your new German headphones. And then I said, I wrote, hello? And it's he responds to me. Now, hello wasn't delivered because of Pony's machine that does not like to get text messages on any level.
It's an Android.
And then he writes back to me finally, correct. I'm just following orders.
Wow, it's gotten to that level? It's like a
war criminal. I'm sorry, Mike. Oscar called me to his room to get them a moment ago. He didn't know your flight was bumped up. And at this point, I discontinue communication.
Yeah, you best get out while you can.
It's not going to get me anywhere because he's not answering. Or what am I supposed to say? Yes, bring me my headphones when you magically fly to Houston, Texas.
I had a similar issue with him when he came down when we were meeting to go to the meet and greet. And yeah. I said, it's a 6 o'clock meet and greet. Let's meet at 5:15. And he said, great. And so I met him at the fountain, the grand fountain that we all meet at. And he said,
the grand fountain where we all shed our clothes and wash each other's nipples.
And he said, did we change the time of the meet and greet? I said, no. Why? He says, well, because I just got this text that says meet at 6:15. I said, let me see that. And it was the text from the previous day. He got it 23 hours later and thought perhaps something had been moved around.
I have to ask you this. Pony, did the trip exhaust you?
It was a little exhausting, but toward the end, there were so many screw-ups with my phone and texting and messages getting out of sync that it just threw everything for a loop.
You see, the problem here, Mike, his phone, his smartphone is not very smart.
No, it's being a dumb phone.
What kind of phone do you have? Since we're all Apple people, but what kind of phone do you have?
It's a Samsung Galaxy Note 3.
So it's an Android-based phone.
And it has a 27-inch screen.
Yes.
It's a huge phone, and it just doesn't receive text.
You were showing it off at the meet and greet on Friday night at the Paradise Cantina, weren't you?
I don't think I was showing it off. I was doing stuff on it, though. Oh, no, I was.
You were
standing
in front of that blonde-haired guy, and you were showing it off.
Yes, I just remember that. We were comparing.
Jesus Christ, I was there.
What you don't know, Mike, and I discussed this with Oscar as we were taking a meal at the airport, at McCarran Airport, is that when Pony gets a few drinks in him and he becomes Ginny, he gets all Ginny because he's drinking gin, you get the Pony show. And I think what that blonde-haired gentleman was receiving at the Paradise Cantina might have been the Pony show, which involves talking back to the TV and sometimes using character voices.
I'm surprised that he was showing off for a guy there because at the at the Paradise Cantina, it was wall-to-wall ass.
It was.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, great trim.
All those women.
It was hot.
It was wall-to-wall ass.
What was so great is even the guys were good-looking.
Yeah, weren't they?
Do we have a diverse demo or what?
We do.
And we wanted to thank Paul, the gentleman from Las Vegas who did the loadout.
Yes.
And then proceeded, like, as the evening went on, to tell me all about the Florida broadcast and to talk about, we talked about delay and speed of a lightning speed that's involved down in Florida. And I know there's always the, nanosecond delay. It's not perceptible normally to the human ear. But he was just looking at me. He said, well, it's really more about physics than that. here's a guy that's been so nice to us. But, you know, it really was the end of our trip to Las Vegas. And I really wanted to just look at him when he said that and went, blah, 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 blah.
He was a brilliant, brilliant man and kind enough to take me and Pony home from the broadcast via Wayne Newton's house.
Wow.
And then he said, and there's a lot more things I could show you. And I think even Pony was at the end of his rope when he said, I really need to get back to the hotel.
Well, Pony's good at that. Pony's good at, like, you know, knowing his immediate needs.
Yes.
And not worrying about etiquette.
Oh,
he's good at that.
You know what he says? This is my favorite Pony thing in an airport. I really need to eat soon. And he said that like three times when we were in security. And the third time, and I try to be polite, I said, yes, Pony, we know. You can get food as soon as we get through security. But he's very big on announcing it.
I don't want to pile on, but there's also another moment that when we were done with the broadcast, we were about to pack up. Something important was going to happen within the next 5 to 10 minutes. I remember that. And Pony said, I'll be right back. I said, Pony, if you're going to go smoke, You got to wait till we're done working here. You got to wait till we're done with this job, this next task. He said, no, I'm going to the restroom. And the direction he was going in was not the restroom direction.
Right.
It was the I'm going to go smoke direction.
I said,
Pony, restroom's that way, and pointed right. the right way. And he turned around like he got caught.
Pony
went straight to the restroom.
I was heading to the only restroom that I knew of, which was the one over by that gross barbecue place.
Now, my question for you, Matt, is how on your mind always is getting a cigarette? Because, and you know, I've never traveled with someone to whom smoking was so important that he would, when we would go from the hotel, say, to the shuttle to go to the convention center, he'd
Robbie,
disappear.
Let me interrupt you and say you have traveled with somebody who's where smoking is important to them. If you travel with Mike to a casino
yes.
at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday.
I have, now, but I'm talking about 24/7.
That's when it becomes important. That's when it becomes important to me. And now it's done.
It's
and now
done.
I've got, you know, now it's another 8 months without touching one, and that's all there
well,
is
no,
to it.
Well, no, Pony's a 7-Eleven of smoking.
Like,
he's open all the time.
Yeah, we would right. come out of the elevator, and there would be like maybe, what, you know, like 3/4 of the building away is the shuttle.
Yeah.
And then automatically, Pony's gone.
Yeah.
Because he's walking among the slot machines where he can smoke. And it's just, it's such a magical driving force for him. I felt like I should tie a cigarette to a string and put it in front of him. But Matt, it's always on your mind, isn't it? Like when we get out of a car, the first thing you do is you unbuckle and then you spark up.
Well, that's how habits tend to work, but I don't know. I mean, from years of working at the station,
it's the habit. It's not Pony. It's the habit.
Yeah, that's the habit, Rob.
That's how habits work.
Do you smoke around your sugar gliders? No. Secondhand smoke can kill.
No, I don't.
Little tiny black lungs.
Help me! Pony.
Yes, sir.
Can I ask, really, because I never did get to the bottom of it, the exchange that you and I had regarding the headphones that Oscar picked up, the aforementioned headphones, the manufactured need that I had for headphones. When I don't, I've got a perfectly good pair
that
I don't need at all, but it was a great bit.
On Wednesday, it became a key priority to everybody. It became the number one job.
Well, at the end of the day, it was more principle than anything else. We
right.
had said to the guy, come on, you know, we gave him an all-over body massage for 7 minutes talking about his headphones. And to me, it was not that I wanted them because you have them back in Virginia as much as I just wanted the payback. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
I wanted
yeah, yeah.
him for the fairness of the show.
You dance, so, Tony, he needed to pay.
Yes.
When you texted me that I have your headphones, do you want me to bring them? Did you know that I was no longer in Las Vegas?
Well, it was about 11. Let me see when I sent it out, because
that'll
you
take
said
forever.
150.
No, let's rely on this Android that apparently gets you a text in 23 short hours.
Yes,
and incidentally,
seriously.
It gets a little confusing when you're going East Coast, West Coast now,
yeah.
because it's saying 150. That might be Eastern. I don't know whether it's Eastern time or not. It's starting to keep track of it.
And also, it's weird because if you gain that 3 hours, that's time for 10 more cigarettes.
I have right. Saturday at 1:50 p.m. Would you like me to bring your headphones?
So Pony arrived to my place around 11, not even 11 o'clock, it might have been 10 something. And I said, look, you
got it. And when he walked in the hotel room, did it look like Darfur?
No.
So if he's texting me at 10:50 Western time, then it might really be 1:50 p.m.
Yeah, it could be.
So I might have gotten that at 10:50, but I still had an 11:17
so
flight. Long since at the airport.
What he wasn't aware of, and I wasn't aware of, is that your flight wasn't at 4 o'clock. It had been
right.
earlier in the day. That's what happened.
And I want to thank United Airlines for being a very nice airline, and it was problem-free and really quite pleasant, although I got on the scale when I came back. Rob, you're not going to believe this.
What?
I lost 2 pounds in Las Vegas.
What?
I lost 2 pounds.
Were you at a British casino?
I think that is attributable. It's attributable to two things. It's attributable to the fact that, because Rob and I had a couple of bad meals. But it's attributable to the fact that the walking that we did was
absolutely
unbelievable. We walked miles. We literally walked miles
See,
every day.
It's different when I got on the scale when I got home. The scale said one at a time, please.
We'll get back to that. We're all back in the roost right now. We are broadcasting live from our various locations. We're delighted to have you with us on the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll take a quick break. We will come back with more of a retrospective on our trip to Las Vegas, Nevada, everybody. And I'll make sure not to plug in my computer down here in Florida because it's giving me an electric shock that's going into my testicle. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, did you know that the folks at Vistaprint.com create all their business card designs in-house.
In-house?
They have an amazing team over there, and you should see the options they offer. And that's why it's so easy to make your own personal and distinctive business cards, because Vistaprint is the best. And check out this great deal. Just for our listeners, 250 high-quality premium cards for just $10. That includes shipping. Just go to Vistaprint.com, pick your industry and your card, and start designing. Choose fonts, colors, the size, and location of the text. You can add pictures, maps, logo, anything you want. Oscar likes raised lettering.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
I gave more business cards from Vistaprint out on this trip than I ever did in my life. Then just when you think it can't get any better, you can personalize the back of your card as well. The possibilities are endless for a business card that is truly you. So remember, 250 premium cards for only $10, shipping included. Just go to Vistaprint.com and click on the Heard Us on TV radio button and enter our code. You know what it is, TMOS. They have unlimited options to make the best business cards ever. You can design exactly what you want, upload it, and Vistaprint takes care of the rest. To get 250 cards for only $10, go to Vistaprint.com and click on the Heard Us on TV radio button and enter our code. That's TMOS. Thank you very, very much.
You know, Mike, that's a great code and a great button.
It is. Absolutely. I love that button. And who doesn't like to have their button touched?
That's good, especially with raised lettering.
We are back from Las Vegas after the whirlwind 7-day extravaganza.
Really?
Extravaganza.
It was actually
technically eight days.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, and, you know, our advance apologies to our listeners. We are still crispy. We're going to be crispy for a while. It takes a while to recover from that city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one more day, and that just would have flat out done me in.
What
that would have really just killed me.
Do you think we overdid it by 50%? Do you think, or underdid it by 50%? We should have done 4 days, maybe, and that would have been about right.
Three days with one for travel.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's about right.
If the show starts on a Tuesday, we get there Monday, and then we leave on that Wednesday. That's what I would say.
That's totally true.
Yeah. Sounds about
then
right.
Again. But really?
Maybe we leave Thursday. Thursday.
No, yeah, I think.
We get there Monday, we leave Thursday.
You know who you are, Mike? You're the little boy with the addiction that he's not sure he wants to get rid of.
I was thinking, Mike, we get there on Sunday and we leave on Wednesday.
That sounds really good.
Still 5 days.
Yeah, but Sunday doesn't count because it's a travel day.
Yeah, we do three shows. We do Monday, Tuesday. You're right, though. If we get in on Monday, then the show starts on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we'll know what we're doing next year.
Yeah, we'll be.
Yeah, just like we did this year.
No, hey, no. Everybody should get a nice pat on their back because we actually pulled it off.
We faked it very well. We really looked like we knew what we were doing.
I think the shows were very, very good. I think I'm very happy with the way that they turned out. But at the same time, you know, we fall right into that category of work hard, play hard. And my God, I mean, we took both very seriously.
We did.
And then in Rob's case, pop culture hard.
Oh, my God.
Rob,
over
did
the
you
top.
Get at the very end of the night when I was leaving.
Right.
Did you hear me saying, you know, now it was all about what little Rob wanted to do?
Yeah, well, you see, I think that was an unfair accusation. Because several times we did stuff that, yes, I really wanted to do, but in the case of the Elvis thing and in the case of the Hofbrau House, you came along. I invited you, but you had every right to say no. And I mean, it's just
at that point, because I really enjoy your company and I enjoy hanging out with you.
But at that point, I
achieved Rob circuit overload when it was just like when you had invited every listener from the meet and greet back to the Hofbrau House.
Yes.
And you know, and they pour their special German beer, which is just as good as any swill you'd get, like that was in a bar drain.
You ordered the wrong one.
I did not order
you
the
did.
Wrong
you
one.
Ordered
they
the Hefeweizen.
Do not have their beer is nothing like the beer you get in Germany.
You ordered the Hefeweizen. If you had ordered the standard beer, you would have been much
happier. I got
happier.
The standard beer. It tastes like a natural light.
It did not taste like a natural light.
Totally tasted like a natural light. Then I got to listen to the Oompa band and the blissfully average waitresses. You know, why don't we have some pieces of acid?
And I believe that is actually how they bill them. Let us now please welcome the blissfully average waitresses.
How do they manufacture on some of those women the cleavage? I mean, what type of hooks and pulleys do they employ to just get some of these hens to generate some cleavage?
Gentlemen, we would be remiss if we did not mention that Jimmy Cerrito bought us rounds and rounds of shots from Manassas, Virginia to
it's
Las
nice
Vegas,
that in long
Nevada.
Distance, he can still do some enabling.
Of course. This is what he does.
Did you hear how it was presented to us?
No.
When we were at the Paradise Cantina, our waitress walks over. She's got about 18 shots on a little tray. And she says, "Hey, Oscar." And I said, "Yes." She says, "Courtesy of Bullwinkle." I said, "Oh my God, here we go."
Now, at that moment of inebriation, did that non sequitur throw you? Because that might have thrown me. I might not have understood right away what was going on.
It didn't throw me because I don't know any other man that would do such a thing.
Okay, true.
Bullwinkle is the only man that would find his friends in a city that's 3,000 miles away and say, "I want to get them even more drunk than they probably are."
And you know, he wanted to be there. That's the whole thing. He wanted to be there, and he couldn't be, and that's a drag. And you know, Jimmy likes to be there. You know, the fact is, it's a tribute to the three amigos here and Mr. Pony also that, you know, we did fine on this trip with the Streamline. We used to have a Jimmy. You had to have a Jimmy Cerrito. Because if you didn't have a Jimmy Cerrito, I'd stab someone.
Or a buffer.
I'd be stabbing someone in the eye.
Well, also, you're maturing, Mike. You're a much more graceful man than you once were.
Let me tell you something, Rob. After that particular business trip, the idea of me maturing is about as foreign as any kind of concept. Listen to my voice still. Hey,
I know.
You?
It was so great.
How's it going?
There was much of a coin flip that prevented you from going after that Elvis impersonator with a knife.
Oh, God. But no, I was cool. Rob, at the Elvis impersonator show, I was fine.
You were such great company.
Then we went to Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, that's Soleil.
And we got there, and so that was the bill. And then the last part was, I said, here we are, the third amusement park entertainment venue that Rob Spiewak has desperately wanted to visit.
Yes.
And I was like, and that's really like being in the middle. And I realized it's your nirvana. It's the middle of manufactured fun.
It is.
It's Wally World.
It
that's
is
your
Wally
world.
World.
You like Wally World, and you were in the middle of the Hofbrau House, which really, for me, it's like, take my right one, put it on an anvil, and then take a big sledgehammer and smash it.
You know,
that's
funny.
How much fun I want to have at that. And I like beer.
The MC actually did that shortly after you left. He did the thing with the testicles.
Gustav?
Yeah, he did.
Gustav, we did get Gustav, the inappropriate MC. Hi, how are you? Oh, you all look fat.
Mike, I did some rough math and rough research. From end to end, which we walked for the bonus show and the majority of our days there at CES, it's 5 miles.
Really?
Wow. 5 miles.
Like from the hotel room all the way to the floor?
No, it's from where we were brought, from the North Hall to the end of the South Hall. And if you walk the actual show, it's 5 miles worth of show.
Yeah, it's so much.
Oh, my God.
If you want to know the scope of it, I actually read that there was a guy with the best record player in the world there. And by the time we were done with the bonus show, I might as well have just sent him a card. Say, thanks for coming. I'm not going to try and find you. It's too far.
And you didn't want to go see the Beatles memorabilia.
No, you're right.
I sent you a picture.
It's too far. There was just too much.
Yeah, it was. You know, we were a little crispy. I would love to, you know, it's great that on the bonus show, and thank you so much for all your great feedback
about the
bonus show where we actually did walk the floor. Doing it again, we've got to go back. It's like Disneyland when you go for the first time. If you go the first time and you've only got a limited amount of time, and we did because of the broadcast, you know, and the gambling.
Gambling, Mike, Las Vegas gambling.
We really didn't, outside of Oscar and Todd really walking the show one day and damn near killing themselves,
yes,
we didn't get a chance to really get all the benefits of the CES, and I'd really like to linger longer.
So if we return next year, we can see more, see the right things, and you can get another pair of headphones.
And, Mike, a glorious email from our friend Dan Cole.
Yeah, what a great
and
guy.
And it wasn't the email, hey, did you guys have a good time? I'm glad you did. You'll never come back. It was the type of email that said, thank you so much for coming. I heard that you guys had a great broadcast. Listening to the shows, they're fun. This is exactly what we want.
Yeah, he was very, very pleased
with us. So the password for next year is Prime Real Estate.
That's right.
You know what, Oscar, you like me. Now, listen, I know that logistically we have to have kind of, I love the four walls, okay?
Yes.
But I want that Texans studio.
The high-tech Texan?
Yes.
I want the high-tech Texan. I want his studio next
Maybe
year.
Maybe something unfortunate will happen to him in, say, a rodeo incident. And we'll be able to get his studio.
Wouldn't it be cool to have that little box that we have?
Yes.
But have it in a different spot. Like anywhere different. It would be
just
terrific.
Just turn 90 degrees.
They have to put the broadcast in a certain area.
All the towers are in certain locations, yes.
So they have to have that, but I wouldn't mind just being, maybe if Mr. Cole was appreciative of what we did, who knows? Maybe we could get a slight upgrade
in
our location.
I think it's his seniority. I think that I think we could probably talk to Mr. Cole and say, look, we've already done 1 5-day, 8-day, really 8-day stretch. We'd like to come back, but we need some considerations, if you will.
That's totally, you know what? There might be a better way to phrase that. I understand what you're saying, but I don't think we got the power to put his toes to the fire yet. Hey,
but
Ben,
are you ready?
I think
ready
what we need is a little help from your
clearly
end.
Clearly, I'm kidding.
God, I hope so.
I am.
Are you ready for the really bad news, though, boys?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Based on this trip, I have to go, content is king. And based on this trip, it's multiple road trips in 2014.
Yeah, I
our
think
listeners
so
clamor for it.
They
really
love it.
Do.
They loved it. And it was fun.
And we're gonna,
we'll
we're
go
going
to Graceland.
To be...
Yes, of course. We'll go see. We'll go see Hofbrau House in Pittsburgh. I think there's one in Los Angeles.
Now, hey, you know what? Pittsburgh was okay. We were beginning that road trip, and we got completely annihilated. It was a lot of fun. We will take a break. When we come back, more to discuss. I will talk about really an amazing airport experience that I just want to share. Share it on Facebook. I'll do it with our listeners when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. We have to have a conversation with our friends at Encore because they were singularly responsible for bringing us all that great fun out in Las Vegas. And, we're planning on doing a few more of those because it's just too damn fun. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our friends at Encore. It is a new year, and if you're out there shopping insurance, it's hard to know which company offers the best value. Encore Insurance is here to help. Encore surveys the most highly rated companies in the insurance industry to compare premiums. Encore does the work so you don't have to. Popular internet disc jockey. I always read that like I've read it for the first time.
I love it.
Popular internet disc jockey Oscar Santana.
Perhaps you know him from Tech 411, Mike. He's Tech 41 wonderful.
Fully and insured.
And the Big O and Duke Show.
Yeah, that's another good show.
And Love Lines. Anyway.
And AT40.
He is a client of Encore.
I count them down every
and
weekend.
He loves them. Just call toll-free 866-347-5748 to get a free life insurance quote. He's also Delilah. It's all free. There's no obligation and no salesman will visit you. If you prefer computers, just visit smartterm.com. That's S-M-A-R-T-T-T-E-R-M, and that's .com. You'll find all that great stuff, the licensing disclaimer, Encore Insurance Services. Stop paying too much for life insurance. Protect your family the smart way at smartterm.com.
That's right.
My name is Mike O'Mara, and I'm a professional broadcaster.
You are.
Our commercial was brought to you by me. So it's a long, long week. I was actually blissful that I was getting out of Las Vegas earlier on Saturday, but my flight left at 11 o'clock Las Vegas time, and I was going to be being picked up at the airport by my wife at 10:15 Eastern. So.
Question. We already covered in an earlier segment of this very broadcast that you were not aware of your departure time on the morning of Saturday. You thought it was 4, but it was, don't put a flashlight on us. You're going to mess with the lens, dude.
I'm just playing with stuff.
Now you've told him to do it.
Now the question
is, it's a
brand
new year and it's a brand new studio and I've got new stuff to play with.
Now what time did you realize your flight was 5 hours earlier?
Saturday morning.
Oh my God.
So what level of a cluster?
No,
was it a cluster
I checked
F?
It Friday night.
Okay,
I checked it Friday night before we went out.
But what did you ever get to a level 2 cluster F trying to get ready to leave? Because after 8 days, it's not easy to repack and get going.
Now, repacking and getting on the road is the I could be a nomadic tribesman in the Middle East.
Okay.
I can break camp and get the hell out of there because it's just throwing all your junk in a big suitcase.
Oh, and remember, he packed light.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Relatively light. And
but what about all the souvenirs?
The only thing I had to do was communicate with Mr. Sir Tex a little because, Rob, you're to be honest with you, here's the way. This is for all of us, Oscar and Pony and me. If you need really to get in touch with Rob, if you have to get through to him and you want a prompt response, post it on his Facebook page.
That's probably true.
Well, at least you figured it out.
You tell me if I'm wrong. You will look at that infinitely more than you look at your personal text messages. I've had my, and I'm not going to try to change you.
Okay.
But I've had my last conversation where it's down on the in the basement of my 3-level townhouse.
It's down. Oh, that's it's my phone. You're talking about my phone.
Your phone. Yeah, your phone is. I text you all the time, and you don't respond.
I try to keep it as close as possible. No, I care desperately. I care.
You don't look at Facebook on your phone. I write. Am I right about that?
Very seldom. Very seldom. I mean, if I do, if I look at Facebook on the phone, it's because I'm like on a trip or something like that, where I'm not at my.
Can I add something to this conversation,
please?
Yes.
That. You could enable your messaging service, iMessage, onto your computer or your tablet. So you really would have no excuse because...
I have it there.
Then why don't you answer?
Because you know what? For the time that Mike needed to know about the plugs yesterday, I was in the shower. And I don't take the cell phone to the shower. Mm. Mike,
we got bad luck with that.
I was disrobed when we spoke.
Oh, that sounds
unattractive.
How about
that? Yeah.
Jeez. Hold on.
How hot is that?
Sure, this isn't too loud. We're making some minor adjustments on the replay, so I'm going to turn this way down.
So the phone rings. Phone rings, and I see it's M. O'Mara, and I pick up, and you know what? Yesterday, as crispy as
you
are today.
You heard that fine, right? That vomiting sound?
That was fine, yes.
Do you realize that now I have, seriously, I think I've blown out my right earlobe.
Oh, no.
My eardrum. My eardrum. It's terrible.
Well, at least you won't hear the electric. When you're electrocuted, you won't hear it. But you called.
So scary to me.
And I had to, I picked up, and I was, I think I was in a towel. I said, hello.
Oh, hello.
So if I was curt with you, it was because I was dripping.
Hey, Mike.
Well, you know, we finally got the information.
Yes.
Do you mind quickly, when your wife picked you up, because I had my lovely girlfriend pick myself up at the airport.
You can just say me.
And kill yourself. And I said, either she's going to be in a great mood or a bad mood. She'll celebrate the success of what is the Mike O'Mara show, or she'll be upset because I got to have fun and she didn't.
Yes.
How was Carla for you?
I think that I anticipated that, and I anticipated a little hostility, and it may have manifested itself. It may have manifested itself in the best defense is a good offense.
Okay. Right?
And I think I was a little testy. I think I was a little testy.
No.
And I think that when you go away, and I think all guys can relate to this, you go away on a lengthy business trip, there's going to be an adjustment period when you come back.
Always.
Why am I burping up like this morning's breakfast?
Oh, dear.
I'm still recovering from Las Vegas.
A little bit of Carnegie Deli.
There has to be an adjustment period, and there has been with my bride and I.
What happened?
It was just testy.
Like, oh, man, give me an example, please.
I want to see if I get specific examples. It's just like, you know, it's like, well, oh, okay, out of the gate. I'm glad you brought it up.
Cool.
Out of the gate. She picks me up and she goes, hey, Vegas man.
Oh, no.
She said I was standing on the street waiting for her to come by to pick me up. And I said, what do you mean Vegas man? No. And then this is the exchange because I'll do my impression of her.
Okay.
I said, she goes, Vegas man. Ooh. And I'm like, okay, what do you mean by that? She's no, you know, just the way you were standing there, you know, Vegas guy.
Oh, so she's manufacturing. She manufactured a problem.
I don't know what it was.
Because how were you standing?
Like a winner.
Huh?
Standing like a winner?
I don't know if she's sure. Hey, Carla.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, boy.
I heard that echo too, Rob. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
Watch this. Carla.
Good. But you were do you feel that you were standing in a way that you wouldn't have stood 8 days before?
Standing in a way that really was like, get me to a bed. I've traveled for 8 hours.
But she could have misinterpreted that, get me to a limo.
Hey, where's my, because that's because we traveled by in such luxurious style with the free shuttle bus.
The piss bus.
The piss bus.
Stinky piss bus.
But you know what?
your lovely wife is here.
And you went out of your way. And I saw this. You went out of your way all the time we were in Vegas to be in touch with her using not just the phone, but FaceTime.
Yes.
And so you were really trying to stay in touch with her.
Can you hear this?
Of course I can hear Rob yapping away.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know why I love to yap, Carla? Because I'm Vegas man.
So did you not say that to me when I got into the car that I was like Vegas guy?
Yeah, you look like
little Vegas. Right into the microphone.
Yeah, you look like Vegas guy. You look like a Goomba.
So was it his outfit? What was he wearing?
I think he was wearing a striped shirt and just the way he was standing with his bags. And I don't know, he just looked like his hair. He got a new haircut. And it's like a Vegas haircut.
Hey, it's Vegas guy.
Ow. Ow. I hurt my toe. Ow. I got I hit my tooth in the microphone. Yeah, I got one of those Vegas haircuts.
It's a bad haircut.
It's time for Mike O'Mara's new swinging Las Vegas styled haircut.
She's gone. She's out of here. Yeah, I walked into the barber out of the Venetian. I said, "Hey, listen, is there anything you got that could make me look like a real douchebag?"
He said, "Yes, our Goomba number 7. Sit down, please."
Thank you.
But
here's the thing. And I'm stunned that I lost weight when I'm absolutely dumbfounded that I lost weight. It had to be the walking. And so I get to, because really the number one reason I'm surprised I lost weight is because of what I did in Houston Airport. And I'm here to lay it on you now.
If you are connecting
in Houston, Texas. I land, I got about a 2-hour and 15-minute layover between flights. And I had a really nice flight in, except for the fact that for the very first time in my life, even though I have flown most of my life and I have been heavier than I am now, when I got to my little seat in row 7F, the window seat on the United Boeing 737-800 aircraft.
Oh, the workhorse of the air, Mike, the 737.
Because I'm in row 7 and I've got the it doesn't have the normal seat rest, right? It's got the two like bars on either side.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
You got to kind of cram your ass in between that. And on the way out, I sat in the same airplane in the same seat, but it was not the identical airplane, obviously.
Sure.
Because I sit down in 7F. Oh, God. I'm about to bring a little Bolivian boy a great deal of joy right now.
Oh, boy.
I got to tell the truth. So I sit down in the seat, and I look down, and I said, yeah, there's the one side of the buckle. That looks okay. And then the other side of the... Well, that looks a hell of a lot shorter than it normally is.
Oh, no.
Let me see if it's stuck down there a little bit. Let me jiggle it a little bit. I said, no, it's not. No, it's not. That's just short. That seems like, well, what they do, cut it and shrink it? What the hell's going on? So I'm going back and forth, and then because this has never happened to me, and I didn't gain weight out in London.
No, clearly not.
It was perfectly acceptable on the flight out, so I sort of tug on the left one, and suddenly it's becoming apparent to me, I am not going to ask for that. That I'm not going to ask for the thing that they ask people to leave the plane for.
Oh, Mike, it's called
I'm not going to ask for a Diaz.
It's called the seatbelt extender. The seatbelt extender.
I'm not going to ask for the Diaz. Okay. I'm not going to do that. So I pull, and then I tug, and I am about this close, and I'm going, this is me just going, okay, well, let's just get seated before the other people do this. I'm going to try to just give it one little. And I try, okay, that's. Look, maybe it's if I push my ass back closer to the actual
seat. You
got to
wedge yourself. You got to readjust.
That's you just wedge yourself in there, and I'll pull the right side up, and I'll go.
Like suck that. It in.
And so at this point, it becomes apparent to me, and I'm almost cutting the circulation off in my fingers as I'm struggling to get this seat together.
You know what I found? I've been
because
in a similar
I have had
boat.
In previous seats, I have had room to spare. I can tighten the belt. Not only to just put it together, I can tighten the belt.
I've been in a similar boat, and what really I think it has to do with, I think the exit row has a shorter leash or shorter.
Rob, I was in the exact same seat.
But the
on
thing
a different
is,
aircraft, but the exact same
But do you know what really
seat.
Blows my mind is the absolute lack of stretch. You sometimes just need a little more, there's none.
They're not.
Because it's metal
cords.
And nylon, and you just want a little more, and you can't
have
get
you,
it.
Have you visited the land of the extender?
Never once. But
you
know what?
Son of a bitch.
It's been close.
Yeah, but was it the meal? Because you raved about it on Facebook. Was it the meal?
No, this is the way from Vegas to Houston. I'll get to the meal.
Okay,
in a second.
I'm sorry. I thought this was
I jumped out of place
Houston
here.
Home.
I'm sorry about
okay,
that.
Okay, I apologize.
And so this is the battle, and I'm sitting next to a couple of lovely gentlemen that I believe were probably going to land in Houston, then continue on their travels down to Nogales. That's just my opinion. And so they didn't speak a lot of English, and all I know is just like, you know, all I heard was like, I'm in the right seat. I'm in the right seat just going, please. And finally I quit because it's not going to happen. And I gently, because two things are at play here, embarrassment and fear of turbulence. I have both. I believe, you know, I've read the stories where the people hit, you know, 30,000 feet in those major air pockets. And, you know, the guy puts his head through the overhead luggage compartment.
Right. So Billy Mays.
He killed Billy Mays. That's right. Another great broadcaster, Mike.
Did that kill Billy Mays?
They said it was a delayed reaction to a head injury on an airplane.
Really?
Yep.
And
That's
or
funny.
It's not.
And
Mike.
Or the blow he took.
Yeah, and he did a lot of cocaine too, which is a
So I rested on my left thigh. I just sit the buckle out like, yep, if the flight attendant sees this, I'll mention that I need one and it'll be meant to be. But
did you foresee
the plane.
Did you foresee a play where she would come by and said, we'd love for you to buckle your seatbelt? And you could reply, I'd love to do that too.
No, Rob.
We have dreams. Let's share them.
Rob, the fears would be the equivalent of buying a personal hygiene item or like a suppository product in a drugstore. It's like,
we need a preparation H price check on aisle 3. Preparation H.
I'm expecting, you know.
Karen, can you come to the front of the plane? The passenger in 7F needs a seatbelt extender.
So the old bird, the old hag, of course, that's
the crone.
Not going to miss the bird-like, the osprey that is working the front of the plane. She's not going to miss me. And, of course, she comes over, and I have my headphones on because I'm enjoying the free DirecTV that wasn't on the other plane on the way out there.
Bonus.
So I'm digging on that, and I look over. So we're doing a bit of a pantomime thing. And she comes over to me, and she goes, and I look at her, and I go, hands up in the air. Yeah, fat guy. You know, but I'm not a fat guy. They're 10, 15 fatter people than me on this plane.
Yeah, it's where you
and they're
carry
not getting
your,
the extenders.
It's where you carry your weight, maybe.
I think also it was a badly installed seatbelt.
Where I carry my weight.
I don't there think it has anything
he
to do with
that. He couldn't escape this discussion without one of his little digs.
No, he's very excited. But so I think it has more to do. I think your seat was a factory second.
Well, who knows? All I know is that she brought me the little device, and then I began the construction product of the project that was putting them together.
And now how does it work?
It works this way, Rob. You get a seatbelt extender on a plane. When you land in Houston, you say, I'm going to go have the fattest meal that I possibly can because I'm totally depressed. There is the world of fat people, ladies and gentlemen. That's the way it works.
Do you take it with you so you don't have to ask for it again?
No, because I'm never going to need it again. And the next flight I had room to spare.
You see, and I can relate to
defective seat.
I can relate to what Mike is doing right now. This is the same as when your doctor tells you to lose weight. And you go back 2 months later and you're down, say, maybe 8 pounds. And he says, good job, keep it up. And you say, thanks, I'll see you in 2 months. And you go right away to a restaurant. You leave the doctor's office and you go to the 29 Diner and you'll say, I'll have eggs and pork chops. Because you're thinking, I'm in the clear.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Since he's dodged the bullet.
I got off that plane and I said to the flight attendant, excuse me, here's your little device back. No, I left it on the seat. But I was walking off, I said, seat 7F, make sure you only book that for Matt Bloom.
Bony boy.
She says, does he still have your headphones?
Yes, she does. I get on the ground in Houston. I'm real excited because 2 hour layover. I'm fine with that because I don't mind a nice slave. I don't like blasting ass to get to a connection. I don't mind if if you're traveling all day anyway, it's not going to make a world of difference. But at this point, I said, going to have a nice little sit-down din-din. I am going to look. And for the first time ever, I think ever in my life in an airport, I said to myself, I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to settle for the dog food that they serve in most airports. And
like
really,
Burger King?
Well, I don't know. They've got, all these chain restaurants, mostly like little convenience store
like
sandwiches
kiosks.
Wrapped in plastic that just look like crap. And I had read somewhere in the deep recesses of my brain that Houston George Bush Intercontinental Airport, and it's George Senior, not Junior,
good.
Had some great restaurants. And so I started asking around, and they said, well, there's one. I'm in Terminal C. There's one in Terminal E. You have to go this way. And then I meet this wonderful guy that really sounded like he was from Trinidad, and he was running one of the shuttles. He said, oh, you have to go to Papado. You go to Papado, man. That's it. And I said, well, how far? He said, it's far. Hop on. And he took me to this restaurant.
Did he take you there on a carpet?
On a cart.
Oh, okay, because it sounded like with his accent, perhaps he was going to fly you there like in the movie Aladdin.
He was giving me a taxi ride from one terminal to the other. They got them all over Houston Intercontinental Airport.
Cool.
So he drops me off at this place, Papada, and I sit down all by myself. And for really, it makes you realize how rare it is to have just an amazing dining experience. And I was in nirvana from the minute the first entree was served to the appetizer. I even had dessert afterwards.
Good boy.
Thank you very much. It was that loud.
A little loud.
A little loud.
Yeah.
Although probably
that.
Accurate.
We'll fix it in post.
Probably accurate after your meal at Papa Doe.
Papa Doe. Let me see if I can fix it right now.
Hey, did you buy that gentleman dinner?
Which gentleman?
The cart driver.
Nah, he's long gone. Now, he had things to do.
Walk me through. I know time is of the issue here, but we need to know what your app, what your entree, and what your dessert was.
The appetizer were alligator bites. Now, you might say average. You get them in a lot of Cajun-style restaurants, but new. Absolutely incredible.
Were they tender?
Absolutely the best.
Because a lot
of times... Tender, and it was the seasoning that they had. The seasoning was just incredible.
All right.
I love the seasoning.
Was it served with some sort of dipping sauce?
Yes, it had a dipping sauce that was both Cajun and sweet at the same time.
That's perhaps the best combination.
It was really fantastic.
But then was there room for an appetizer, was for some sort of entree?
Crawfish etouffee.
Oh, etouffee. That means two.
No, it doesn't.
No. He doesn't care.
It's like a stew.
He doesn't care.
It's like a spicy stew.
How about that? I fixed
better, Mike. That's great. Yeah, thank now you're much, talking, yeah. Boy. Yeah, boy.
Etouffee. Yeah,
served on white rice.
Lots of white rice with a great sauce. And then, because I'm sitting there like cooing over this meal at the end, and he says, can I interest you in some dessert? I'm like, you bet you can. And I have this sweet potato pecan pie.
Oh, my God. That's that all sounds like worth flying there for.
With a scoop of Haagen-Dazs ice cream on top of it.
Oh, cool. Why not?
Yeah.
And then I just completed right there. It was amazing.
And they said,
but if you're ever in Houston Intercontinental Airport or some of the other areas around Texas, Papa Doe, and that's that dough is that D-A-U-X-I-E. Absolutely fantastic, everybody.
You said I'm ready for my check and a seatbelt extender.
Thank you very much. Hey, seatbelt on the way back to Florida?
Yes.
No problem whatsoever.
Ah. That's fantastic. It just
it was
some sort of weird happenstance. It wasn't even.
Yeah. We'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need on the Mike O'Mara Show right after this. Welcome back to the show. Whoa, whoa. Happy New Year, possums. Here's some news to start your year off right. It's not too late to jump on the 2014 bonus show bandwagon. Order right now.
When?
Right now.
Thank you,
and
Mike.
You'll get all of the 2014 shows, plus on-demand video access to each show and unlimited access to the entire anthology. That's every TMOS bonus show since we started. At $69.99, you save over 25%. We also have monthly packages, and as always, you can still buy each episode a la carte. Fantastic bonus show from the Consumer Electronics Show, where we actually walked the floor and met hot girls, robots, submarines, and foreign people. Check out all the details at MikeOMaraShow.com and choose the one that's right for you. Just click the bonus show banner. Remember, order now, and you won't miss a single second of the bonus fun. The 2014 TMOS bonus package, because 5 hours a week just ain't enough, everybody.
From around the globe, across the nation, looking through your neighbor's window, the Mike O'Mara Show now presents News You May Not Need, a comprehensive look at the stories you may or may not be talking about during your daily activity. And now, news you may not need.
For the fifth straight day, hundreds of thousands of people in West Virginia had to wash, cook, and brush their teeth with bottled water. But officials promised the ban on tap water that was tainted by a chemical spill would soon be lifted. Over the weekend, tests showed levels of the, this is so gross, licorice-smelling chemical used in coal processing.
It's called Good and Plentyum.
Did you just, was that this morning? No, you didn't know I was going to have this
story. I made it up.
It
was a joke, Mike.
Good and Plentyum is very good. I guess. My God, that was loud.
It's very loud.
As I said, I'll work on them tomorrow. Anyway.
Now, really,
that was difficult.
When you're talking about this thing, how many people in West Virginia do you think are affected by having to change their tooth care routine?
Hey, how dare you?
That's really way over the line. I'm sorry Mac told me to say it.
Oscar went to school there. As the tests were expected continuing Monday, there were still questions about how and why the leak occurred and whether the company, Freedom Industries,
took
too long to let state officials know about the problem, so we wish those people the very best out there. Federal officials are investigating why a Southwest Airlines flight, God, I'm glad this didn't happen to us.
That's what I thought.
That was supposed to land at Branson Airport in Southwest Missouri instead landed at another airport about 7 miles away.
Yeah, well, that's very close.
That airport only had about half as much runway. Southwest Airlines Flight 4013, carrying 124 passengers and 5 crew members, was scheduled to go from Chicago's Midway to Branson Airport. And the Boeing 737-700 landed at Taney County Airport.
Hey, Mr. Douglas!
Which is also known as M. Graham Clark Downtown Airport.
Wow, that's a good... I wonder, do they have that restaurant that you went to?
Papa Doe.
Do they have Papa Doe there?
That's a little scary.
Well, they almost died because if they would have gone 100, like 200 more feet, they would have gone off an embankment.
Yeah, there was no runway there. It's very,
very, very scary. And they'll look into it, but you wonder sometimes if these pilots are a little too low-key. A top retail trade group executive on Sunday called for tougher security standards that could mean more spending for the industry, its banks and business partners, after a series of data breaches at major merchants. Stores and card processing companies have reported a steady stream of security breaches for years without a major backlash from consumers, but the latest thefts, we all know about them, at Target and Neiman Marcus. They've involved a broad set of merchants and could mark a watershed moment for security standards as calls grow for changes in the protection of consumer information. And I think it's overdue. I think they've got to tweak it up a little bit.
And also Target really, you know, talking about those pilots that take things a little too easy. Target has, I think, twice come out and said, yeah, you know how we said it was? It was actually a little worse than that.
Yeah, yeah.
They really soft-sold it to us.
Yeah, and I think you're going to have to see them protect the consumers more. It's the cost of doing business,
here,
and hopefully that'll happen. The internet was ablaze with news last week that Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David are collaborating on a new big, huge, gigantic project together, and now fans may have the answer to what it is. Showbiz 411, an entertainment industry news website created and edited by Roger Friedman, reported Saturday that the project is a Broadway play. Did you know about that, Rob?
Wow, I had no idea. Is it based on what they've done before?
I don't know. It doesn't give a lot of details.
Huh.
I've written a play, Larry David told this guy Friedman. And when he asked about it, he said, yes. Friedman said, what is it? Maybe we're talking about something with Jerry Seinfeld in it.
Oh, okay. Ooh. I understand. It's pretty, pretty, pretty good.
There was no mention of subject matter, but Friedman says the project appeared to him to be number one on David's things to-do list. I hate crap like that.
That's really bad.
Oh, I don't know what it is, but it's number one on his to-do list. Ooh, very scientific, Mr. Friedman. Jerk.
I've got a number two to do after the show.
That's number one. That's number two is number one.
I'm not sure when Oscar's going to take that dump, but I have it on pretty good understanding. It's way up on his priority list. Thank you. I got that right that time.
Perfect.
David Cassidy has been picked up again, boys.
Oh, no.
He looks so good.
Driving under the influence again.
Yes.
The former heartthrob pulled over in L.A. on Friday after police saw him make an illegal right turn.
You know, it's weird. When you see the pictures of him, he looks like he used to be a heartthrob. Now he looks like a heart scare. He just looks horrible.
He's 63 years old. He blew a .19.
Oh,
that's
no.
over twice the legal limit.
Mm.
It's like he wants to die.
It's not his first run-in with the law. He was pulled over in August of 2013 in New York for driving while intoxicated, and also in 2010 in Florida for the same charge. It's his third DUI.
That's they got to take away his keys and his body.
Last week, because of the polar vortex, millions of people got to stay home, either because work temporarily shut down or because they got to telecommute instead of stepping outside. And what did people do with their time off?
What'd they do?
They watched porn.
What? Really?
Lots and lots of porn.
Wow.
Pornhub.com, endorsed by Oscar Santana.
Hey,
there you go.
Two thumbs
up. Just released stats comparing average porn viewing on their site during business hours in January versus porn viewing on their site during business hours last week, and the jumps were serious.
Wow.
Overall, every state in the polar vortex zone had an average porn viewing increase of 5.2%.
That's known as the Travis effect. Do you remember how the speed of the internet would slow at WJFK during the Don and Mike show because Travis would ride the dump button and do nothing but surf porn?
He's watching porn the whole time.
The whole time. And
they changed an entire policy in the building because of him.
It did, because he loves seeing those videos.
No.
Liked his categories, Oscar.
You got to do that at home.
Yeah, do that. That's not for the office.
Says the people here in Maine, Michigan, and Florida deserve special congratulations. Maine's porno use jumped 43.8%.
That is not Michigan's okay.
Michigan's family up there.
42.1%, and Florida's went up 37.2%.
Why are they affected by the polar vortex? vortex. It never got below 60.
Don't matter down here. Weather don't matter to surf porn. Just the way it is down here. Sunshine State, Nathaniel.
Here's a little something-something for you boys.
Yes.
Back in October, someone started walking into a hospital in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and stealing bottles of hand sanitizer. It happened over and over again for months. Well, last month, police finally arrested 51-year-old Lee Ammerman after they saw him walking around the hospital, questioned him, and he admitted to the thefts. When they asked him why he needed so much hand sanitizer, he explained that he enjoyed mixing it with orange juice and drinking it for the alcohol.
Oh, well, I had three of those at the Venetian.
It's delicious. All in all, he stole about $80 worth of hand sanitizer and faces charges of misdemeanor theft and receiving stolen property. He's due in court February 5th. Isn't that amazing? Mixing it with orange juice.
Wow.
Yuck. It's a shame because I understand from the police officer that he was this close to a clean getaway.
Ah!
That's all I got. My sincere apologies for that particular news story. We'll take a break. Come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right after this, everybody. You know, we don't talk about it enough, but I have to remind you that one of the best ways to help TMOS is with Amazon.
Yes.
This segment of our program is brought to you by the Mike O'Mara Show's Amazon page. It's a brand new year and a great time to make some changes in your life. But one thing you must not change, please continue to go through our Amazon link for all your 2014 shopping. Our Amazon portal is the best way to effortlessly support the show. So when you buy your exercise equipment, diet supplies, self-help books, and when you buy your new skinny wardrobe, use our Amazon link. Amazon is also the easiest way to shop for everything your office needs.
Yeah, Joe.
Whether it's paper clips, coffee, cleaning supplies, if you need it, Amazon has it. Always open at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. Today and every day, a great way to save money and support the show. Remember, click Amazon at MikeOMaraShow.com and don't be afraid to bookmark it. Here's to a great 2014. Cheers, everybody. Sorry about that. That was a little loud.
We slammed it, though. It's definitely open. No doubt there. No doubt there. Mike, with your busy day yesterday, did you watch any of the Golden Globes?
I did not. And yeah, I watched the whole thing.
You know, the Golden Globes is great because that's...
You can get a chance to talk to it in the body of the real show today. Watch this, Rob.
Yes.
I'm fixing this as we speak.
Even as we speak? You know why you can do that? Because you're Vegas guy.
Vegas man.
Perfect.
Oh,
okay, but now it's closed. Now you got to open it. Thank you. Fantastic. All right, the Golden Globes, that's closed.
Oh, no.
Now you got to open it. Now it's open. Thank you. Okay.
Appreciate it.
Check out the breeze.
Tell me about the Golden Globes.
It's the greatest award show because it allows drinking. Now, a lot of times this doesn't affect people, but sometimes it does. I have two examples where I think drinking might have been at play.
Okay.
The first one, Emma Thompson was a presenter. And mm-hmm. she came out holding a cocktail. She was barefoot and was holding her shoes in her hands. Because right. I guess she'd had enough times with her.
I think she was playing up the alcohol.
Do you think? All right, let's hear it. And then
she's really grown up, hasn't she?
I think she looks good for an older lady.
She does.
She's terrific.
Here's Emma Thompson.
Stop it. I just want you to know this red, it's my blood. As an actor, all I ever look for is a great, great screenplay. And as a screenwriter, all I know is how difficult they are.
I'm going to pause it there. I think she's drinking and pushing ahead with such force because she's not going to let anyone know.
She's fighting.
She's drinking. She is. She's a fighter, Mike. Don't you think?
Yeah, she might be. And incidentally, just on a side note, can I say that once again, 2-4-2. You know, I do a lot of bitching about pop culture, but I will tell you something. Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, here's the formula. Phenomenal, sharp writing delivered in a clear, concise way.
Right.
They hit it out of the park again. Bring them back next year. As a matter of fact, they can do the Academy Awards as well because I think they are fantastic. They are funny. They do great bits that aren't over the top. They have old Seth Meyers help them out with the writing, and I thought they were smashes. Just fantastic.
She was so powerful, I called her the Amy Poehler Vortex.
She was great.
Oh, here's Emma Thompson.
The visceral admiration and respect that I present the nominees, well, not me, the voice of God, for best screenplay. And here they are.
I think the one person that I also think was drinking was the always lovely for many, many years now, Jacqueline Bisset.
Oh, my God. She was a hot mess.
She was. And she came out and they tried to bleep her. and they missed one of them. They missed the S word. So you hear the audio dropout here. This is NBC fighting Jacqueline Bisset. I think she won Best Actress in a miniseries that was a drama. But here's, I like to call her Jackie, Mike. Here's Jackie Bisset.
I think it was 47 years ago. So the Hollywood Foreign Press gave me a promising, a nomination for the Hollywood, promising newcomer. I'm absolutely shaking. I can't believe this. God knows. You've nominated me about five times. I think this. Anyway. Scottish background to the front. Okay. Thank you to my British agent, Steve Kennis, and my American agent, Harry Abrams. I'm sorry, I'm going to get this together. I want to thank the people who've given me joy.
Oh, dear.
And there have been many.
She is such a hot mess.
I say, like my mother, what did she say? She used to say, go to hell and don't come back.
What? And she went on for about 30 more seconds.
This was the most, and here's the deal. Awesome. When she won, I'm old school. I remember the Deep.
Yeah.
Okay, I remember Jackie Bisset. I remember that she was the hottie of hotties, and I'm like, old school rules, and she looked all emotional. She sat there for like 5 minutes after they announced her name, and then she came up, and you know, she loses all my goodwill as she just punts it with her rambling I'm an actor speech.
What I love
go
is
to hell.
She says,
go to hell, don't come back.
What is it my mother said? Like, then, am I supposed to remember what her mother said?
You can fight beauty by not caring. What? Who am I? Yes, I'm an actor. And so much. You know, the one thing about the Golden Globes.
Yes?
I'm about done with actors by the end of that show.
Right.
Because they're all acting. La, 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 la.
Oh, there was a lot of that. Now, here was a great introduction for Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm going to play for you the introduction and then what happened with it afterwards. But this is how he was introduced. This made me laugh out loud.
And now, like a supermodel's vagina, let's all give a warm welcome to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Now, what surprises me...
That's fantastic.
...is I think that might have been sort of an issue with the censors because there was a weird audio dropout and a replay loop afterwards. Like, that might have been an ad lib that had not been cleared by standards and practices, because listen to how it aired on the East Coast on NBC. This is bad vaginal bleeping, Mike. I want you to know that.
And now, like a supermodel's vagina, let's all give a warm welcome to Leonardo DiCaprio.
So go silent.
I just want to quickly say thank you to Brad Gray and everyone at Paramount. And I forgot to thank this incredible cast
that
I got to work
with. They messed with it.
They messed with it. And I think that perhaps they weren't supposed to use that joke. And NBC had, so they bleeped the wrong thing.
Yeah, but so the East Coast, so how it would go from the West to the East, right? Or how would it go?
If they carried it live, all I'm saying is that was recorded on an East Coast feed. I don't know if they tape delayed it, but it sounded like garbage.
Rob, did you watch the whole telecast?
I watched highlights of it.
Okay, I watched the whole thing, and sloppy, sloppy, sloppy.
Always sloppy.
It was not a well-produced show.
And you know what?
Not by a long shot.
Not nearly as sloppy as everyone on the Today Show this morning.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, God, it was low energy,
really?
Al in a sweater. I hate Al Roker in a sweater. When he says, I talked to Jennifer Lawrence, and there's nothing she can do wrong.
But they have to fly back to New York, right?
Only Matt flew back. The rest of them stayed in Los Angeles. Okay. But it was a mess for them. Now, my favorite joke of the night involved Mr. Jonah Hill, and I like this one a lot.
The Wolf of Wall Street is a big nominee tonight, and yes. I really loved the film, but some of it was too graphic. I mean, if I wanted to see Jonah Hill masturbate at a pool party, I'd go to one of Jonah Hill's pool parties.
But it speaks to what you said. The writing was great. And at one point, Jonah Hill actually, the wrong thing came up on the prompter, and he had to handle that.
I'm not going to lie to you. Right now, they put up the wrong stuff on the teleprompter.
Yeah.
This is for Aaron Eckhart and Paula Patton. And
I've never done this before, so I don't want to improvise on this.
Oh,
so what they did
is
they just handled a piece of paper.
She is man, oh man. I mean, that's one of that's the best looking woman that was at the Golden
Globes. Is it Margot Robbie from The Wolf of Wall Street, I believe.
Wolf of Wall Street. Oh my God. I mean, a 12. She's fantastic.
Very, very cool. Now, also last night on 60 Minutes, they interviewed the guy that gave A-Rod his testosterone. And okay. he revealed that he was the guy that actually gave him some of the shots. We'll close on this. What I found fascinating is A-Rod used to eat gummy candies
yeah.
that had testosterone in them during the game.
He would put one of these trochees in his mouth.
Gummy candies.
About 10, 15 minutes before game time, or as soon as he went into the field. They're so small that you could literally, while sitting in the dugout, take it, put it in your mouth, and people could think it's sunflower seeds or a piece of candy or a piece of gum. Now, all of a sudden, his levels of testosterone are higher. It gives him a little bit, it gives him more energy, it gives him more strength.
And the thing that's about it is the dose was so small, it would be out of his system before they could test him.
By
for
the
it.
End of the game, it'd be out of his system.
Isn't that great?
That guy sounds like a real nice guy, too.
He seems like a good guy. That's your Magic Audio Vault, Mike. Have a great Monday.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, fellas. And want to thank you guys. A-Rod only hangs around the nicest people. We'll be back tomorrow with another brand new show. Didn't get to anything, you know, about football, Downton Abbey, my airport pet peeve. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Yes, it wasn't all sweetness and light on the trip home. We'll do that tomorrow. For all technical support issues with the Mike O'Mara Show, you can contact our sugar glider wrangler himself,
attaboy.
Matt Bloom. Just drop him a line at ponyboy@mikeomaraShow.com. All correspondence for the show should be sent to TMOS, P.O. Box 3, Manassas, Virginia, 20108. And remember, our official E-Boys hotline is open right now.
When?
At 1-800-440-8167. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying, see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Wait, don't go. I need to tell you that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is perfect for all your online shopping needs. Shop the best way. Shop Amazon. And please go through our website, always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger. Because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.